Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Talking through the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there, because that's obviously where we're going to start as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians chapter 5. We've already covered love, joy, peace, and patience. Tonight we're going to talk about kindness. And some of y'all need this word tonight, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just playing, but I'm being for real. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which also means patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay, so we're going to talk about kindness. The first thing that comes to my mind when I think about kindness is I remember years ago, I was talking with my grandmother, my mom's mom, and she is just a sweet lady, and she told me, she said, Spencer, kindness never goes out of style. How many of y'all have heard that before? Kindness never goes out of style. But it just sounded so eloquent and great coming from my southern grandmother that she just said, Spencer, kindness never goes out of style. And that is a motto that I try to live by in my life, is that I understand that there will never be a time or a day when kindness is not needed or appreciated. Kindness is both needed and appreciated. And sometimes it may not seem like kindness is celebrated in our culture or in our day and in our age. But trust me, when you are on the receiving end of kindness, you will appreciate it. It may not seem like people appreciate kindness, but when they are personally affected by the kindness that you show, they will appreciate it. They will take note of it. They will recognize it. They will be thankful for it. And the problem is that kindness is so rare. Even in the church, kindness is so rare. It's rare to meet somebody that is just truly kind. And I'll tell you what we need is we need a revival of kindness. There's a lot of people talking about we need a revival of the gifts and we need a revival of the Spirit. And I'm all for that. But if you're not kind, the revival of the gifts and the revival of the Spirit isn't going to last very long. We first need the fruit of the Spirit before we can really operate and move in the gifts of the Spirit. And when we complete talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to move on to talking about the gifts of the Spirit, because I believe in the gifts that the Spirit has given to the church, but I believe that it's important that we have a foundation, because if we prophesy and we speak in tongues, but we're not kind, it's really not going to make any difference in anybody's life. Amen? And the world needs a revelation of kindness, okay? It's one of the things, in fact, kindness is one of the things that should set us apart from the world. In fact, all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, all these things that we're talking about, these should be defining characteristics that as the Spirit of God is living in you and moving in you and breathing in you and leading you and teaching you and convicting you and inspiring you, these things should be coming out in your life, and it's what should make you different from the world. It's like yesterday, Pastor Madison and I were walking around the property line of our house, and first I'd gone out there and I found some blackberries, okay? Okay. And so we just started walking and looking all in the tree line for blackberries. Well, do you know what distinguished a blackberry bush from just a thorn bush? The blackberries on it. It was the fruit that was on the bush that made it valuable, that made it stand out, that made us excited. I mean, it's just so weird when you get older, the things you get excited about. Right? Like, you just get so excited about the weirdest stuff. Like, Scottsboro's getting a Publix. And I'm like, yes! And I'm like, why am I excited that Scottsboro's getting a Publix? That's just weird. Like, as you get older, you just get excited about different things. Like, we walk outside every morning, and there's a new zucchini on our plant, and we just lose our mind. Right? I'm like, why am I excited about this? That's so weird, right? When I was 18, I didn't get excited about this kind of stuff. But as you get older, you get more excited about stuff. But what distinguished a thorn bush from a blackberry bush was the fruit that was on side of it. And it's the same way. Kindness is one of the things that should set us apart from the world. We're called to be set apart. Not just that we don't do what they do and we don't go where they go and we don't say what they say, but that there is some kind of substance that we're not just saying we don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't cheat, we don't do this stuff, but they're seeing, oh wait, you are not just different and you have set yourself apart from us, but you're different in the fact that you're loving and you're kind and you're patient and you have peace and there's something different about you. It's the fruit that sets us apart. And the world is tired of people that speak in tongues on Sunday and speak rude English the rest of the week. They come into the church and shadalanda haya, but then when they go out into the community, they're backbiting, they're gossiping, they're being rude, they're tearing their boss down, they're talking bad about their spouse behind their spouse's back to their friend or to their coworker, and the world is tired of seeing that. And I have nothing against the speaking in tongues or the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in all of it, but I'm just tired of seeing people that come into the church and act one way at church, and then there's no fruit to sustain it throughout the rest of the week. The world is tired of people that give 10% of their money to the church but won't give anything to help a family, struggling family member, a homeless person on the side of the road. You know why? Because they are bound to the religion of, I have to give 10% to the church, but everything else is mine and mine only. That's not being generous. That's being religious. Okay? And I'm not against tithing. None of the things that I use as a parallel illustration am I against because they're biblical. God talks about, you know, there's the speaking of tongues is in Scripture. The bring your tithes into the storehouse, it says in Malachi. It's scriptural. But sometimes I feel like we get so religious that we only do the things that we're required to do at church or we think we're required to do, but when we go out throughout the week, there's no fruit, there's no sustenance, okay? You are called, according to the book of Colossians, to be clothed in kindness. We used this scripture last week when we were talking about patience. He says, put on then. Paul talking to the church at Colossae in chapter 3. He says, put on then, and one of the things he says is kindness. That word put on means clothe yourself with kindness, full of goodness, happy, loving. So I truly believe that we need a revival of kindness. You know why? Because the world needs to know that there is a God that is kind. And we are the vessels that He has chosen to distribute that kindness and that love and that grace and that message of hope through. And so if the world is going to receive a revival of kindness, first there must be kindness that is inside of us that we can give to the world. He's chosen us to be His vessels. Let me show you two scriptures that show us about the kindness of God, okay? If you're taking notes, write these scriptures down so you can study them, look at them, get them into your spirit, get them into your heart. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, okay? It says, Paul writing to Titus, he says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God and our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So here we were being disobedient. We were deceived. We were serving our various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, living in envy, hating one another. But it was God's kindness that showed up even in the midst of our mess. It wasn't His wrath. It wasn't His judgment. He didn't show up. So many people live life with, like, do you remember the whack-a-mole game growing up? Like, I remember going to Chuck E. Cheese and the moles would pop up and you'd try to whack, you know, the mole with a mallet when it jumped up. So many people live with that thought process of God. God's just waiting for me to mess up so He can whack me on the head. That's not what God is like. And actually, let me show you another scripture just to prove that. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness? Meaning, do you want to resist the kindness of God? Are you contentious towards the kindness of God? Are you trying to push the kindness of God away? Because do you not realize that it's His forbearance and His patience? Not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. So how does God draw us in? He draws us in by kindness. Not by being rude, being hateful, being judgmental, but it's the kindness of God that draws a man unto repentance. God doesn't use His anger, His wrath to scare people into repentance. He uses His kindness to bring them into repentance, to invite them into repentance. Repentance isn't something to be scared of. It's something that we should all seek after because it's the way that we get reconciled to God. And why would we not want to be reconciled to God? Maybe you've heard this idiom before. You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, right? We got to put that into practice in my house. The flies are crazy right now. I don't know about y'all, but Pastor Madison like lives, she's got like a fly swatter on it in a holster, like a cowboy. And she's just like, wah, bah, bah, bah. She'll be like, I got 6 flies today. And I'm like, that is great, babe. That is awesome. She's keeping a tally. It's her versus the flies. Okay. But you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. So that's what we should seek to do, is to be kind, because we're not going to draw people into repentance by being rude, by being unkind, by being judgmental. We're going to draw them in by kindness. It's the kindness that you show in the world as you go out, as you go to work, as you go to the grocery store, as you go, you know, out for an activity with your family. Just the simple thing of being kind. So many times we think, I got to prophesy, I got to speak in tongues, I got to lay hands on somebody, I got to perform a miracle, I've got to have a word for somebody. And God's over there like, you won't even be kind to people and you want to give a word to people. Sometimes it's just somebody being kind, and somebody comes up to you and says, I saw the way that you showed kindness to that single mother by helping them in this way or that way. Why did you do that? Or is there, you know, they begin to inquire and they begin to ask, because it's the kindness of God that will draw people in. But if we're rude and we're complaining while they're holding up the line and their kids, you know, all over the place, and we're mad and we're frustrated, nobody's going to want to know where you go to church, why you serve God, if you really love me. We've got to issue forth kindness. Amen. So let's define kindness, okay? In English, kindness is defined as the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Now, for you theologians out there, we'll get to the Greek definition of kindness in a minute, okay? So nobody freak out or get up and leave on me. I just first want you to understand this, because I think that this is an important thing to know about kindness. It's defined as the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. And don't you think that the world could use more of that? More friendliness, more generosity, and more consideration for others that are around us? Those three things that the world is deficient in. You know, sometimes if you went to go and see your doctor about an issue that you were having, they might tell you you're deficient in vitamin D, you're deficient in vitamin C, you have this deficiency of calcium or of iron. I know sometimes when Pastor Madison has been pregnant, her doctor said you need to take more iron, right? Because you have a deficiency in iron. Well, the world has a deficiency of friendliness, generosity, and just being considerate of other people. And we as the church, we as the body of Christ, we as believers, the children of God, have a responsibility not just to be those things, but to infiltrate the world with kindness. That's what he wants us to do. Because there are not enough people allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be developed and distributed in their life. Because if there was, there wouldn't be a deficiency of kindness. But think about this. It's easy to be rude, right? It doesn't take much effort to be rude. It just comes out of your flesh. You just have to let yourself go and not worry about, you know, anything. Don't submit to the Holy Spirit. It's easy to be rude. It's easy to be closed off and isolated, right? Because to be kind is to be friendly. But it's much easier to go somewhere, keep your head down, don't look at anybody, don't smile to anybody, don't talk to anybody, don't invite anybody, don't be kind to anybody. It's much easier just to stay in your world, but that's not what God is calling us to do. Now, I'm not saying you have to be the world's greatest extrovert in order to be used by God. But there is something just about being kind. It's easy to be greedy. It's easy to be selfish. It's a lot harder to be generous. It's a lot harder to be friendly. It's easy to put yourself first. It's a lot harder to consider somebody else first. Let them go in front of you. Let them merge and have the right of way. Let them have the preference over you, right? But that's not the way of the kingdom. We're not called to take the easy way. We're called to take the right way. And the right way is to be kindness, to be friendly, to be generous, to be considerate. Colossians 3 again says that we should be clothed. We should be wrapped up and immersed in kindness. Everything that we do should be done in kindness. Everything that we do, correcting our children, should be done with kindness. Confronting a coworker should be done with kindness. Standing up for what is right should be done in kindness. You don't have to hate somebody in order to disagree with somebody. You don't have to be rude with somebody in order to correct somebody. You don't have to be mean with somebody in order to stand up for what is right and say, hey, I don't agree with you on the situation. Here's what I think, but you can do so in a kind manner. You can be kind without compromise. I think so many people think that if I'm going to be kind, I've got to compromise, meaning I've got to agree with them. I've got to not stand up for what is right. I've got to not say anything. I don't want to ruffle their feathers. No, really what you you need is the ability to speak the truth in love and be kind even in the midst of situations where it's not easy to be kind. So that's the English definition of kindness, to show friendliness, to be generous, to be considerate. Here's the Greek definition. Kindness means goodness, excellence, and uprightness. I want to focus on that word excellence tonight, because goodness is actually one of the other fruit of the Spirit that we're going to talk about at a later time. But excellence, 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 excellence. If there's one word that I would pray that you would get inside of your spirit, it would be excellence. Now, excellence and perfection, two different things. I'm not saying we should be perfectionists, because most of the time when people deal with perfectionism, they end up shooting in the wrong place. They end up getting their sights set in the wrong place. I'm talking about excellence. There's a difference. And I want to focus for a few moments tonight. If you just give me just a few more minutes, I want to say thank you once again to the mothers and fathers that have your children in here. Your children are doing an amazing job. Thank you. So I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I want to talk for a few moments on the word excellence, because if I asked you to compile a list of synonyms for the word kindness, excellence probably wouldn't make anybody's list, right? We just wouldn't think kindness, excellence. We'd think, you know, the things that we already described, friendliness, generosity, consideration, goodness, right? We would think these kinds of things. But in the Greek, when you look at the word kindness, one of the definitions is the word excellence. And when you actually think about it and you take the process of thought to go, okay, wait, kindness, it takes excellence to be kind. It makes sense, really, when you think about it, because it does. It takes an excellent person to be kind, especially when you live in a world where kindness isn't exactly prevalent. It takes somebody with an excellent spirit in order to walk in kindness in the midst of a world that is not kind. But a person who is truly kind will operate in kindness regardless of how he or she is treated by others. Okay? Why? Because they're an excellent person. An excellent person doesn't allow their conduct to be determined by anything other than their drive for excellence. That's why an excellent person can be kind even in the midst of a situation or a world that is unkind. So now let's ask this. Why should I want to be excellent? For some reason, some people have a problem with the word excellent. It's probably because they're confusing it with being a perfectionist. But why should I want to be excellent? Okay? Here's why. Number one, the main reason is that excellence honors God. That's the main reason we should desire to be excellent in every single thing that we do, on our job, in our marriage, raising our children, anything that we do, we should desire to be excellent at it. Why? Because excellence honors God. I want to show you that in Scripture. Psalms chapter 16, verse 3. It says, "As for the saints who are on the earth," God says this, "they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight." Okay? So what is God saying through that scripture? He's saying, all of my delight, that word delight means pleasure, all of my delight rests on those who are excellent saints, who have excellence in their life, that they're acting in excellence, not performing, but we are allowing the Holy Spirit to produce excellence. See, that's the difference, is you, I've talked about this before, you can't impress God, but you can please God. And the problem is so many people get so focused on impressing God, right? I just want to do great things for God. I want to impress Him. But I've used this analogy before, so if I sound like a broken record, forgive me. But you trying to impress God is like me trying to impress Michael Jordan on the basketball court. It's not going to happen, right? Anything I do, He can do better, right? He's going to outshine me. Same way with God. Anything you do, God is the one that gave you the ability to do it. Okay, so you cannot impress God, but you can please God. And He is pleased with you when you walk in excellence. Because Psalm 16:3 says, "As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight," or all my pleasure. And in the church today, I've noticed that we love to lift up, prop up talented people, gifted people, attractive people, charismatic people, educated people. But really what God's looking for is excellent people. Because there's a difference in being excellent and being gifted. Being excellent and being talented. Being excellent and being educated. Being excellent and being attractive, right? So God doesn't look at people from the outside in. He looks at people from the inside out, right? What did God say through Samuel when he was searching for a king? He was looking for David. He said, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, right? Man is very quick to, if they have an ability, put them on the stage. If they're attractive, use them. If they're gifted, if they're educated, use them. And the church loves to prop up gifted, talented, attractive, charismatic people. But God is saying, I'm looking for somebody like David. What was it said of David? David was an educated, and I have nothing against education, by the way. David was he gifted? Yes. But here's what God didn't say. God didn't say, I've sought a man that is gifted, that is talented, that is charismatic. He said, I've sought a man who is after my heart and who will do all of my will. There was an excellent spirit inside of David. There was something inside of him that was not satisfied until he did everything that God had set out for his life to accomplish. Now listen, David was skilled. The Bible even says David was good looking. David was successful. So there's nothing wrong with those things, as long as our main goal is that we're excellent to honor God and to be obedient to him and to do whatever he's called us to do. So God is looking for people who are excellent at being kind, excellent at doing good, excellent at serving, excellent at loving. In fact, it makes me think of Romans chapter 16, verse 19. It says, I desire that you be wise at what is good. If you look at that word wise and you study it out, one of the variations of the word actually means excellent. He says, I want you to be excellent at doing good. That's what Paul said to the Romans. I want you to be excellent at it. I want you to make sure that your heart is in it 100%, because excellence is a choice. You can't choose to be more talented, okay? You can practice, you can work out, right? If it's a sport, you're wanting to get better at a sport, you can practice, you can work out, you can train, you can eat better. But really, all you're doing is making little choices to be more excellent so that you can get better, because you're born with the amount of talent that you have. You can train and get better, but that all comes back to excellence. So you can't choose to be more talented, but you can make a decision that you're going to do everything with 100% effort to honor God, to love God. Meaning you can choose to show kindness even when the people around you are rude, your coworkers, your neighbors, whoever it may be. You can choose to be kind to the person in front of you at the grocery store that they get up there to pay and they forgot their wallet in the car. This was me last night. I got to Piggly Wiggly to pay for my little groceries. I didn't have my wallet. So I had to say, I'm sorry. And there's three people behind me in the line. They already had to wait for the lady that had the big old buggy of groceries in front of me. And I had to run out and get my wallet and come back in. Right? Well, it made me think, you know what? Next time that happens to somebody in front of me, especially if their total is only $4.69, maybe I should just pay for it and show kindness. Right? You could change somebody's whole day. Right? Instead of being rude and going, oh my goodness, now I have to stand here and wait while they run out and get their wallet from their car and they've ruined my entire day. Maybe just show a little kindness. Maybe it makes me think of the old Glenn Campbell song. You ever heard that? You've got to try a little kindness. Yeah, show a little kindness. That's a great song. Go listen to it, okay? If you've never heard that song, go listen to it. Jeff, be quiet. Go listen to it. You're going to love it. You're going to be jamming on the way home to Try a Little Kindness. It's a great song.
I just heard it out there.
Did you really? Not the whole thing, man. The verses are good. So you can choose to show kindness. Here's another little example. You can choose to show kindness by doing the dishes that you know your spouse hates to do, right? Sometimes we forget to show kindness. That's the best amen I ever got in my entire life. I've been preaching for 8 years. Best amen I ever got. It was all from women, too. What was up with that? Sometimes we forget to show kindness to the people that are closest to us. Sometimes we are quicker to show kindness to a total stranger than we are our spouse or our children. But I want to remind you today that they need your kindness as well. Okay? All right. You can show kindness by, you know, preferring other people. That awkward moment. Let's use a grocery store analogy again. You both get to the register at the same time, right? And inside you're like, they've got 40 items. I've got 3. I should go first, right? But maybe you just go, hey, you go ahead, you know, and you prefer them. That's a simple way to show kindness, and you never know what's going to come of it, okay? All right, so when you choose to allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of kindness inside of you, it is filling you with an excellent spirit that won't compromise or give a half-hearted effort. But here's another thing. Kindness will bring favor in your life. I want to show you this in Scripture. As you are kind, it will actually bring favor on your life. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22. What is desired in a person is kindness. Now, how do we understand that that brings favor in our life, okay? What is desired in a person in kindness? I think what this scripture is really saying is what God desires from his people is that they be kind, okay? If you read it in Hebrew, because in Hebrew, the word desired, what is desired of a man is that they be kind. That word desired means delightful, pleasant, or favorable. So really what the scripture is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying through Solomon in Proverbs 19:22, is what is favorable on the life of a person is when they walk in kindness. Because when you are kind, it unlocks and opens the favor of God to be on your life. So in essence, what is favorable or delightful about a man or a woman or a person, whether it's a young child, a man or woman, is that kindness is permeating out of them. When your boss sees you show kindness to that customer or to that coworker, he'll take note of it. She will take note of it. They will realize, they will know. And what will happen is you will receive favor in their eye all because you were being kind. Now, you weren't being kind in order to gain their favor. You were being kind because the Spirit of God is living inside of you. He produced kindness. You showed kindness. And because of that, you didn't even know your boss was looking. But all of a sudden, you get a promotion. You get a raise. You get favor in their eyes. Why? Because you showed kindness. Because what is desired, what is favorable or pleasant in a person is kindness. More importantly, though, then any person taking note is God will take note of your kindness. Even if the boss never sees it, even if your spouse never sees it, even if that person at the grocery store, they've got 40 items, you've got three, and you say, go ahead, and they just look at you and go right ahead, right? And they don't even say thank you. They don't appreciate it all. Guess what? God saw your heart. God saw you being kind, even if nobody else appreciates it. Have you ever said to your children, can't y'all just get along? Can't everybody just be nice to each other, right? Okay, am I the only person that says that to my children? We all say that to our children, right? Don't you think God feels the same way? When he looks down, he's like, can't y'all all just get along? Can't y'all all just be kind to each other? Well, when he sees you bearing the fruit of kindness, when he sees you mow the grass for that neighbor that their lawnmower broke down last week, and you take time out of your busy day and you go over and you mow their yard, it brings God delight. And do you know what the main purpose of our life on earth is? Pleasing God. More than anything. More than making a lot of money. More than being successful. The number one purpose for our life is to bring God pleasure. So when we're kind, it brings him pleasure. It brings him delight. When you pour into the life of that young person that doesn't have a father figure in their life, guess what? God takes note of it. He sees it. It pleases him. It delights him. Even if that young person doesn't appreciate you, appreciate your time, kindness pleases the Father. And if that wasn't enough to be kind, then I don't know what is. Even if nobody else appreciates the kindness, knowing that God appreciates, is honored, shows favor towards your kindness, that should be enough. He desires kindness from each and every one of us. It makes me think about when Jesus said, and I'm about to close up. I'm sorry, I'm going a little bit longer than I intended to tonight. It makes me think about when Jesus said, as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. What was he describing? Going and visiting the sick. That's a foreign concept in today's day and age. Why would we go see the sick? We need to stay 6 feet away from the sick, right? Going to visit someone in prison, right? Taking somebody in off the street. What? Those are all just acts of kindness. Nobody prayed. Nobody prophesied. Nobody spoke in tongues. Nobody preached a sermon. But he said, as much as you did it to them, as much as you were kind to the very least of these, my brethren, guess what? You were really being kind to me. So that's why it's desirable of a man that they show, is he show kindness, is when you show kindness to that stranger, when you show kindness to your spouse, when you show kindness to your mother-in-law, who may really be the least of these, my brethren. Maybe your mother-in-law, I don't know. But as you show kindness to them, guess what? You're really showing it to God. So I think that every single one of us, if we had the opportunity to interact with Jesus face to face, we'd be kind to him, right? Well, we do every single day. Because he said, as much as you do it to anybody you do it to, you're doing it to me. So treat everybody like Jesus, and you'll treat everybody with kindness, right? Stand to your feet with me tonight. I'm going to just want to encourage you to remember that this week. Remember to treat everybody like Jesus. That's one of the most simple things that Jesus ever told us, but it's one of the easiest things to forget. It's one of the hardest things to remember is that that person that cuts you off in traffic, you're supposed to treat them like Jesus. I don't think you'd cuss Jesus out, right? That person that, you know, whatever, did you wrong, that coworker that lied about you, talked bad about you, you know, didn't give you credit for what you did on the job, treat them like you'd treat Jesus. Even if they're not acting like Jesus, you just keep treating them like Jesus. Amen? Bow your heads with me tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the Spirit of God who lives inside of us and is close to us, is a comforter, is a friend, is an advocate. And I just ask right now that as the Spirit of God produces kindness inside of us, that we would not be stingy with kindness. But Lord, I pray that we would just sow seeds of kindness every single place that we go, God. If when we go to dinner tonight, driving on the way home, God, stopping at the gas station, Lord, when we clock into work tomorrow morning, Lord, I pray that kindness would just be evident in our life, God, that we would give it to every single person, because as you desire from us, kindness, God, we desire to give you exactly what you want so that we can be well-pleasing to you. And so we just honor you and praise you tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Raise your hands and receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you. Keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you issue forth the kindness of God that comes by the bearing of the fruit of the Spirit of God in and through your life in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.